This will go from? Text 41 to 60, so we'll finish the chapter. This is chapter 54. What is chapter 54? The marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Okay, so we'll read the last 20 verses of the chapter. And then at the end of chapter 55, we'll have the first exam for this year, for the first section. Okay. Again, Balaram addressed Krishna. Blinded by conceit with their personal opulences, proud men offend others for the sake of such things as kingdom, land, wealth, women, honor, and power. Savannah.
Lord Krishna was originally meant to marry Rukmini. Rukmini, all along this was the best arrangement for all concerned, and yet from the beginning Rukmini had maliciously opposed this beautiful arrangement. When his sister's desire was finally fulfilled and she was taken by Krishna, he viciously attacked the Lord with vulgar insults and mortal weapons. In return, Lord Krishna tied him up and partially clipped his hair and mustache. While certainly humiliating for a puffed up prince like Rukmini, his punishment was a mere slap on the wrist considering what he had done.
Any points? So, what is it?
It's the verse.
41. Try to come earlier. So, out of all of the material facilities that one can attain in this world, wealth is the most intoxicating. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shriya. Janma means high birth. Aishwarya means wealth. Shruta means learning. Shribya means physical beauty. So it is said that of the four, the most intoxicating is wealth. If one becomes wealthy, one becomes very intoxicated. So you see that Rukmini, he's become very intoxicated by his position. When we become intoxicated by the material energy, then we become disrespectful to Krishna, to Krishna's servants, and to all the living entities. So therefore, it is recommended that if you have wealth, you have to use the wealth in Krishna's service. Otherwise, you'll become intoxicated. You'll become inebriated by the wealth. So, in order to punish and chastise Rukmini, then Krishna cuts off his
moustache
and hair. Because this dishonors him. It's worse to live in dishonor than to die. If you're dishonored, you lose everything. One old devotee told me in Vrindavan one time, he said, if you lose your wealth, you've lost nothing. If you lose your health, you've lost something. But if you lose your honor, you lose everything. So our reputation, that's one of our most important assets. Because if you have your reputation intact, if you have your honor intact, people respect you. Especially as a devotee, you have to be respected. Otherwise, if people don't respect the devotees, they can't progress in spiritual life. So we have to become respectful. We have to maintain our honor. So for Rukmini, he was dishonored. They cut his hair and then they send him away. And that's worse than death. Because now no one's going to take him seriously. He says, I am a powerful Kshatriya. They said, what sort of a Kshatriya were you? You got defeated by Krishna and a small Yadu army. You brought your whole, all of your friends and all of their armies, and everything was defeated. So he's become dishonored. So we have to maintain our honor under all circumstances. So, any points?
How do we relate this one to
Krinality? How do we relate?
You are saying that you should maintain respect, whereas Krinality is like, we should be always, like, we shouldn't have any such prestige.
Yeah, but that's a different thing. Because it says one should not be, one should not maintain false prestige. That's false prestige. One should maintain one's honor and one's respect. In other words, one should not act in such a way that people lose respect for us. We should always act in such a way that we're respected by others, because our behavior is proper. We shouldn't become proud of it, but we should be respectful. Any point?
He said he's resisted very mild punishment from the Lord. He can have punishment much more. Hmm. And the same thing Lord Krishna has told Arjuna as well. That honor is, to lose honor is bad for him.
The Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
So this cutting the hair, this looks like a temporary dishonor, because hair will grow in 3 months, 6 months' time. So it's not like a permanent dishonor.
Yeah, the real dishonor is that he was in a situation where they could cut his hair. He was tied up. And that's what he was. He lost all his... he could not show his prowess as a Kshatriya. Any other point?
When is the same thing was done to one of the, even, you know, Draupadi, they stopped Arjuna to punish him?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. To Rukmini, Balaram said, your attitude is unfair, for like an ignorant person, you wish good, to those who are inimical to all living beings and who have done evil to your true well wishes. So, it mentions in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that six kind of aggressors may be killed. What are the six kind of aggressors?
It
says fire to the house. One who takes your wife, one who sets fire to your house, one who gives poison, one who attacks with a weapon, one who plunders your wealth, and
invites the land.
Takes the land. Yeah, the wealth, the land. And there's one other as well. So six circumstances. So you're allowed to kill the person. So Krishna could have killed Rukmini. There was no sin. But he decided to dishonor him, because that was more painful than killing him. The Supreme Lord's Maya makes men forget their real selves, and thus, taking the body for the self, they consider others to be friends, enemies, or neutral parties. So who is speaking here? Lord Balaram. So who is Lord Balaram?
Maharshi. Adiguru.
Yeah, he's the original spiritual master. Actually, Krishna is the original, but he's said to be like the Adiguru. So the Guru is speaking to us. So in order to understand the 10th canto, you have to understand and practice and imbibe his instructions. What are the instructions of Lord Balaram? We have to give up the bodily concept of life. As long as you're attached to the body, you cannot understand anything in the 10th canto. So the bodily concept of life is caused by Well, Zigo, but in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says, what is the cause of our stay in this material world? Yeah, it's called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Right? We don't know who we are. We're forgotten, right? And we don't act properly. We don't act according to our svarupa or our original position. Jivara svarupa hoy, Krishna nicha das. We are all Krishna's eternal servant. But at this point in time, we're not acting as his servants. We're trying to act as Ishraham aham bhogi siddoham balavan suki. Krishna says in Gita, we're trying to be Ishvara and we're trying to be bhogi. We're trying to control this world and enjoy Krishna's energy. So therefore, we're not qualified to go back into the spiritual world. This is called Maya. Maya means?
Which is not.
Yeah, illusion, yeah. That which is not. So what is our illusion? We think we are the body, but we're not the body. We think we are the enjoyer, but we're not the enjoyer. We think we're the controller, but we're not the controller. So as long as we have all of these misconceptions, we can't understand the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. So Balaram is pausing, because the pastimes are going on. Now Balaram is stopping in the middle of the whole thing, and he's giving us the same instructions that Krishna gives us in the Bhagavad Gita, to purify our consciousness so that we can understand the 10th canto. So this is the original guru. And every guru in the Gaudiya tradition, every Vaishnav guru is teaching the same thing. The same thing that Krishna teaches, that Balaram teaches, our guru is teaching us. Now the guru is simply the representative of Balaram and Krishna. So, as Balaram says to Rukmini, you should act with higher knowledge. So we should also act with higher knowledge. We have to act on the philosophy, not just, how do you say it, not just theoretically understand it, but we have to act on it. There's no use saying you are not the body of the soul. You have to act on the platform of the soul. Acting on the platform of the soul means you act as Krishna's servant. You serve Krishna. Right? That is acting on the platform of the soul. Otherwise, we are an illusion. So that is the difference between jnana and vijnana. As Krishna says in the Gita, in the 18th chapter, he gives the qualities of the brahmana. Tapo, how does the verse begin? Sama, tama, tapa, socha. And then Krishna says, jnana, vijnana. You have to have knowledge, but you also have to realize the knowledge, practice the knowledge. So Balaram is teaching us the basic things. Any point? Okay. Those who are bewildered perceive the one supreme soul who resides in all embodied beings as many, just as one may perceive the light in the sky or the sky itself as many. Sri Rampa. Before John Mustamy comes.
The last line of this text, Yatha Jyoti Yatha Labha, introduces two analogies in which we perceive one thing to be many. Jyoti indicates the light of the heavenly bodies, such as the sun or moon. Although there is only one moon, we may see the moon reflected in pools, rivers, lakes, and buckets of water. There it would appear as if there were many moons, although there is only one. Similarly, we perceive a divine presence in each living ever being, because the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, although He is one. The second analogy is given here, Yathanarna, is that of the sky. If we have a row of sealed clay pots in room, the sky or air is in each pot, although the sky itself is one. The Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.32 gives similar analogy concerning fire and wood. The translation, the Lord as super soul covers all things just as fire permeates wood, and so he appears to be many varieties, though he is the absolute one without a second.
Any points?
The Lord, although he appears to be divided, is undivided.
That is true. Any other point?
Why would this consider themselves to be God?
That is also true. Anything else?
Lord is one and is present in all of us, in each and every atom.
Hmm.
So there is nothing different from him.
Yeah.
And if you think anything different from
me, you're in. Yeah, if anything we do is only by the permission of Krishna. If Krishna does not permit something, it does not happen. So every soul must give his independence to Krishna, because it is only by Krishna's grace that we can do anything. Even if you want to enjoy the material world, it's only by Krishna giving you facility that you can do it. Otherwise, you can't enjoy in the material world. So if Krishna permits something, then that will take place. If Krishna does not permit, then it does not take place. So Krishna desires that all the living entities serve him. So when you want to serve him, then he gives you facility to serve. And then when you have a pure desire to serve Krishna, he'll take you back to the spiritual world and you can serve him unlimitedly. So that is the mission of every devotee, to become pure, to fully surrender to Krishna as Krishna instructs, and then we'll become qualified and Krishna will allow us to go back to the spiritual. Any point?
That's what they say, nothing happens without his sanction.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
That is true.
Not even a blade of grass can move without being good.
Nothing.
We should be happy all the time.
Yeah.
And take it as it comes.
You are happy all the time.
Not always.
Really? Okay. The material body, which has a beginning and an end, is composed of the physical elements, the senses and the modes of nature. The body imposed on the self by material ignorance causes one to experience the cycle of birth and death.
The material body, composed of various material qualities, elements and so on, attracts love and repels the conditioned soul and thus entangles him in material existence. Because of our attraction and repulsion for our own body and other bodies, we establish temporary relationships, dedicate ourselves to great endeavors and sacrifices. Not God, imaginary religions make noble speeches and thoroughly involve ourselves in material illusion. As Shakespeare said, all the world is a stage. Beyond the somewhat absurd theory of material existence is a real and meaningful word of Krishna consciousness, the liberated life of pure souls devoted in loving service to the Supreme Lord.
So any points?
This world is a combination of chemical and physical elements and senses and mind or single. The spiritual world is the true world. This is a temporary, illusionary world.
Yeah. Anything else?
Prabhu, if Krishna is in every atom, and these creative schools and material elements, what, it's a question of something being dead. I say that's dead, but isn't that coming from him also? Didn't he create also that?
Yeah, so that's the material energy does not have life.
But Krishna is not within those elements.
Yeah, just like this doesn't have life, but Krishna is in every atom of this. Of that sort.
So how can it be dead?
Because it's inanimate, it doesn't show life. I understand your point, but just to simplify it, right? Then if something doesn't have the soul's presence, and we say it's inanimate, it's just matter. And if something does have the soul's presence, and we say it's alive, it's a difference. I understand your point, but there's no point in overcomplicating it. It doesn't really go anywhere. So, any other points? Yeah. So, it is only because of attachment to our body that we get entangled in this world. As is mentioned here, you know, people fight for causes and they do all of these different things, but it's only because of attachment to the body. People take everything so seriously, but it's only because of attachment to the body. If you're not attached to the body, you won't take this world so seriously. You'll act for Krishna's pleasure. Because we identify with the body, then you have bodily obligations and commitments. And, you know, if you have family commitments, social commitments, all these different things, it's only because you identify with the body. If you don't identify, then you can have no obligation to anything. So in the material world, we overly identify with the body, and then we have to suffer because of the attachment, and then all the obligations that we have to fulfill. So it's simply because Rupa Goswami says that even a liberated soul, then in terms of material dealings, he should act responsibly. So it means we should still fulfill our obligations materially. Even Prabhupada was like that. You know, with the parents of the devotees, Prabhupada said we should still offer respect to the parents. You know, it doesn't mean we have to listen to what they say or follow their instructions always, but we can offer respect to them. When Prabhupada initiated some of his first disciples, Brahmananda Prabhu and Gagamuni Prabhu, their mother came to the Jagya. And then after the Jagya, they circumambulated Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, now circumambulate your mother. So they went and they circumambulated the mother. And then Prabhupada actually said to them, he said, you should offer your obeisances to your mother whenever you see her. So sometimes they would go to her house, they would knock on the door, she would open the door, and then they'd be on the ground like offering. So whether or not you do that or not, that's a different thing. But the basic premise is we should offer respect. But we don't have an obligation. If something is blocking us from serving Krishna, we can give up that obligation, even to the family. If it's going to stop you from serving Krishna, then you can renounce that. So, Lord Balaram is telling us to find reality. What is reality?
Reality is to serve Krishna.
Yeah, it's the spiritual world. We should give up our attachment. You can't go to the spiritual world until you give up your attachment to this world. So Lord Balaram is saying, give up your attachment to this world and then try to cultivate your attachment to the spiritual world. Now, what keeps us in this world? It is raga and dvesh. What is raga?
Envy and hatred.
Raga means?
Attachment.
Dvesha means?
Envy.
Dvesha. Raga means attachment. Dvesha means like hatred. Or like we always say, the mind has two functions. So what are the two functions?
Accept,
that's raga and dvesha. Now, raga means you're attached to something, the mind's attached to something, dvesha means you're detached from it, or you reject it. So that's what keeps us in the material world. Things you're too attached to and things you're too unattached to. If you like something, you think about it all the time. Become attached to it. Some material thing. And if you don't like something, you think about it even more. If you really don't like something or someone, you think about it all the time. I can't stand that person. And then you think about them all the time. Right? Just like at your work, if you don't like your boss. Just like they did a survey a few years ago in England. And they said like 1 in 7 people, while they're working, they meditate on different ways to kill their boss. You know, it's just, you know, because if you really don't like someone, you think about them all the time. But that's what keeps us in the material world. What keeps us bound here is when you're always thinking of the material world or always despising it. So a devotee should not be too attached, he should not be too detached. Prabhupada said this to Umapati Swami, one of his first disciples, Umapati. So Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means not too much attachment, not too much detachment. Prabhupada said, the middle path, the middle road. If you're too attached and you can't make advancement, if you're too detached or averse, you also can't make advancement. Prabhupada was very expert the way he gave Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Just like yesterday, I got that new book by Shyama Sundara Prabhu. What is that book called? Just came out, new book about Prabhupada. Chasing the Rhinos with the Swami. New book just came out. So I was flicking through today. I was looking through. So then one picture, very nice, and shows Prabhupada very beginning of the movement, 1966, 67. Sometimes in the afternoon, 1967 in San Francisco, sometimes in the afternoon they would go to the beach with Prabhupada and light a little fire and they cook potatoes and they do kirtan on the beach.
Baked
potato. Right, and do kirtan on the beach. And Prabhupada was there, and some devotee would be leading kirtan, and Prabhupada was just standing with all the others. Everyone else was 20 years old, Prabhupada was 70. And Prabhupada just standing there and chanting, looking at the ocean, just chanting and chanting. And I was thinking, this is Prabhupada's expertise. This is how he started the movement. He made it in a way that people could relate to it. And Prabhupada said, not too much attachment, not too much detachment. He went with all the hippies, his disciples, his new devotees, on the beach and just looking at the ocean and chanting. And at the end, when they finished the kirtan, they had Prima Dwani prayers. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa. So like that. So then Prabhupada's saying all the prayers and everyone's going jai. And then Prabhupada said, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. Because in Bhagavad Gita it says, of bodies of water I am.
Body
of water. So Prabhupada, he was seeing Krishna was there in the ocean. So this is what it means. Krishna consciousness means you can't be too attached, can't be too detached. If you become too attached, you can't make advancement, you can't think of Krishna. But if you're too detached, right, you also cannot think of Krishna. Any points?
Srila Prabhupada also said that if you want to detect yourself, and you have got to hear about Krishna and do sankirtan and with the devotees.
That's why I come to the Bhakti Vedanta class.
Yeah.
Oh, intelligent lady, the soul never undergoes contact with or separation from insubstantial material objects, because the soul is their very origin and illuminator. Thus the soul resembles the sun, which neither comes in contact with nor separates from the sense of sight and what is seen. Jagannath Ram.
As explained in the previous text, the conditioned soul ignorantly assumes himself to be the material body and thus rotates the cycle of birth and death. In fact, matter and spirit are co-energies of the original source of everything, the Supreme Lord, who is the Absolute Truth. As Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yayadam Dharyate Jagat, the material world is sustained by the living being's desire to exploit it. The material world is like a prison. Criminals are determined to commit crimes, and thus the government finds it necessary to maintain a prison system. Similarly, the Supreme Lord maintains the material universes because the conditioned souls are determined to rebel against him and try to enjoy without his loving cooperation. Thus, here the phrase Tat Dhetutva is used to describe the soul, meaning that the soul is the cause of matter assembling itself into a material body. The term Tat Prasiddhe indicates that the soul is the cause of the bodies being perceived, and the same term also indicates that this fact is well known to the enlightened. Besides its given meaning, the word Atmanah in this verse may indicate the supreme soul, in which case the term Tat Dhetutvat, Dhetutvat, indicates that Lord Krishna expands his personal potency and thus manifests the material universe. Since the Lord exists externally in his pure spiritual body, he never becomes material as indicated here.
Any points there?
The material world
runs
because of the living entity.
Good. Anything else? Then, it's explained here by Lord Balaram that the soul never comes in contact with the material energy. Now, this is an interesting point, because we're all jivatma. We're all souls. And we're all sitting here right now, in material bodies, covered by material mind, intelligence, and ego. But we're not actually contacting the material energy. But we identify and think we are the body and the mind and the ego. So that is avidya, that is ignorance. There's no actual contact, which is very interesting.
Ego is the part of the world.
What's that?
Soul is the part of the world.
Yeah, so we never directly contact the material energy. It's an interesting point. So it's only by misidentification, because all of us here are suffering. But actually we're not suffering, because we're not actually in contact with the material world. We only suffer because we identify with the material energy. And because we think we are the body. That's why whenever you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, he says, you're not the body, you're not the body, you're not the body. Because it's only because of identification with the body that we suffer. But if we understand we are not the body, we cannot suffer. We'll still go through distress. The body goes through distress, but you won't identify with it. Prabhupada was detached from his body. So that is the nature of this material world. It is only because of avidya or because of ignorance that we identify with the material body. But actually there's no direct contact with the soul. Any point?
Like oil and water, they can never forget.
Yeah. You're a doctor? This is true.
Okay, I want to ask you, does the soul not come in contact with the body? Or
does not come in contact.
What is even the body?
No, the body, nothing.
But the soul desires and the
because of false ego, we identify with the body. But there's no actual contact.
So how can we actually,
get to speak loud so the whole world can hear?
How to understand this particular mention, because soul is in this body and we can see the body but we can't see the soul. So in a context we can say that soul is in this body, which means it has a outer layer of the material body on the soul. So when we are saying bodies, the soul is not getting in touch with material things. How to really get the difference?
I don't understand your point.
So you say that soul doesn't get in touch with material.
Soul doesn't touch the body, so what's the point?
But all the, yeah, the physical bodies has the soul in it.
Yeah, but the soul does not touch the body. How to understand it? How do you understand it? It's achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. The soul doesn't touch the material energy. Somehow the soul's in there, but the soul does not actually physically touch it. So how do we understand it? You can't understand it.
You can't understand when you see the dead body.
Because it's called achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. How do you understand it? It's logically you can't understand it, but
when you see the dead body. When you see the dead body, everything is
yeah, then you can understand the difference. You got a point or?
Just a question. Is it like the soul is dreaming of the body? Or viewing it?
Yeah. Yeah, observer.
Observing it.
Any other point?
From all the actions that are being conducted by the body, for example, we are reading Bhagavatam and everything. So is the soul doing it or is actually the...
The soul is the driver. Yeah, the soul is doing it.
The soul only is doing it.
Yeah, because if there's no soul, the body doesn't do anything. Like Mridanga, there's nothing there, so there's... Okay. So if the Mridanga does anything, it's because I'm doing it. The soul. I'm making it move. Otherwise, it can't move.
So actually, the soul is only doing anything.
Well, yeah, because the soul's doing everything. But because the soul identifies with the body, he acts under false ego. Kataham iti manyate ahankara vimudhatma. So it's a nice verse. That's where Krishna explains in the Gita. Because of false ego, then you become vimudha. What is vimudha? What is mudha? Mudha means fool or ass. Vimudha means super fool. Super ass. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you are super fool. Ahankara vimudhatma. Means you are totally fool. Krishna says, you are completely stupid.
That's good.
Hands up if you think you are the body. Then you are completely stupid. Krishna says, totally stupid. But then you become proud. I am completely stupid, and I am proud of it. That's our condition in the material world. So it means we are total fools. Because Krishna says, as long as you identify the material body, you are vimutta. And then what is the result? Kata aham iti manyate. Kata, I am the doer. Oh, I did it. I did it. What did you do? Just like your kid, right? Your child. So your child, you come home and the child makes some Play-Doh thing and gives it to you and says, I did it. And then who brought the Play-Doh? Who gave birth to the child? Who pays the rent? Right? How does the fridge get stocked? So what did the kid do? The kid just went like, made some stupid thing. Right? And then gives to you, and the kid's so proud. Oh, well, that kid didn't do anything really. So that's what we are like in the material world. Krishna says vimutta. Vimutta means you didn't really do anything, but like, oh, I did it. That's our position in the material world. Any point?
The famous word,
Rascal.
You're a rascal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how to identify the world?
What is it?
How to identify the world in the soul?
Hello?
Is it through realizations or just by practice?
What's the question?
So we should not identify the body with the soul with the body you are saying. So how to identify?
How to realize you're the soul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to get beaten with a stick.
And not cry.
Because it means the material energy will punish you with a stick. And after enough punishment, you'll become detached, if you're wise. Some people get hit, they keep coming back. They say, no, I'll do another lifetime. Let me come again, another lifetime, hit me again. But if you're wise, you'll let go of the material energy. So Krishna will help you. And the process is bhakti yoga. By practicing bhakti yoga, then you become attached. Jana yashu vairagyam gyanam charyam ahoitukam. Then you will develop these realizations by practicing devotional service. Any other point?
The soul's happiest when it's serving Krishna.
I've heard that.
So even though the soul does sometimes observe or go the wrong way, it's always happiest when it's serving Krishna.
Yeah.
Because that's its correct position.
TK Acha. Okay. Birth and other transformations are undergone by the body, but never by the self. Just as change occurs for the moon's phases, but never for the moon. Though the new moon day may be called the moon's death. So because of avidya, we lose track of who we actually are. And then we forget our original position, that we are Krishna's servant. So that is the power of the material energy. The more we identify with it, the more we indulge in it, in the material nature, the more we forget our relationship with Krishna. You forget Krishna. That's why in our process there are vidhi and nisheta. Vidhi means things you should do. Nisheda means things you must avoid if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. This is explained by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Singh. Nectar of Devotion. So, vidhi means when you take initiation, you promise you'll chant 16 rounds a day, minimum. Right. That's vidhi. That's accepting positive things. Always remember Krishna. Right. Those things will help you remember Krishna. But then, there are things that will make you forget Krishna. So then that's called nisheda, things you must avoid. Eating meat. If you eat meat, you'll forget Krishna. Illicit sex. You have illicit sex, you'll forget Krishna. Intoxication. You take intoxication, you'll forget Krishna. And?
Gambling.
You gamble, you'll forget Krishna. So these things must be avoided. And so many other things we have to avoid as well. They will make you forget Krishna. So we have to do the things that help us remember Krishna, and you must renounce the things that make you forget Krishna. Any points? Yeah.
Prabhupada then reached London first time in 1967. The press reporter asked him, why have you come here? He said, I've come to remind you what you have forgotten.
So I was reading and he said that the moon is dark and is cold, but it is because of the energy of the sun that it illuminates. That's what It was written by Sri Prabhupada.
This is an example of what Balaram was giving.
Okay. But it has got light, is it?
The moon?
Mm.
Yeah, the moon has light.
I thought it gets light from sun.
Different ways to explain it.
Okay.
Both are correct.
Okay.
Both are correct. Okay. As a sleeping person perceives himself, the objects of sense enjoyment and the fruits of his acts within the illusion of a dream, so one who is unintelligent undergoes material existence. A very powerful verse. Because the Bhagavatam has already said back in the second canto, this world is only
a dream.
A dream. Swapna. I mean, it's a dream. So if it's a dream, then why do we take it so seriously?
Mm.
One devotee insults us. You know, devotee says, "You know, you are really stupid." Also, sometimes devotees say things to us, it really cuts us. And then you won't talk to that devotee for years, just because of one thing that was said, some disagreement. So then, why do we take it so seriously if it's all a dream?
Yeah.
But because of attachment to this material world, we identify it. Now it's interesting, what makes us attached to this material world? Vishaya. Vishaya means?
Sense objects.
The desire for sense enjoyment. Because we're attached to enjoying the material energy. That keeps us bound in this material world, lifetime after lifetime. So in the material world, we become attached to the opposite sex. You become attached to the man becomes attached to the woman, right? And then that binds you into this material energy. And because of that vishaya, or that desire to enjoy sense gratification, then we take birth again and again into this material world and we identify with the dream. And then you don't wake up from the dream. Just like if you're too much in the mode of ignorance, you don't like getting out of bed. You know, the kids go through this, you see when they become teenagers, does it happen to your kids? Become teenagers, they don't want to get out of bed. Like my daughter, I go, I have to bring some dynamite, put under the bed. Then they get up. You know? And when they become teenagers, they become like very lethargic, not enthusiastic, because their bodies are changing and things. So they like to be in the dream state, not reality. But that's what all the conditioned souls are like in this material world. They like to dream. And they won't identify with the reality. And that's what keeps us in this material world. As long as we can enjoy some sex life in this material world, then we'll take birth after birth after birth. That is the Bhagavatam's conclusion. Any point?
We are wasting time here. So we are just wasting time.
Yeah.
I was listening to a lecture and the Ramo was saying that there has to be a point when we came to a point when we have that understanding that we don't want anything, we just want Krishna. So at that point we only need this move back to God. And so why to wait for so many lifetimes to get this point? Why not now? And we just want Krishna and nothing else.
So when will that point come?
I don't know.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Is this material opportunity a chance to serve Lord? To realize Lord?
In the material world?
Human birth is there to...
human birth is an opportunity to rectify your mistake. That's all.
And realize Lord?
To get out of prison.
Yeah, so we should use this lifetime to serve Krishna.
Please. Please, sir. Any other point? Therefore, with transcendental knowledge, dispel the grief that is weakening and confounding your mind. Please resume your natural mood, O princess of the pristine smile. So Lord Balaram is instructing, the same way Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita, use your intelligence to control your mind. If you don't have control of your mind, what will happen? You'll stay in the material world. So how do you control the mind? With the intelligence. So the intelligence has to become strong. Krishna says, third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, make the intelligence strong, then you can control lust. You can control the mind. Yeah. The intelligence becomes strong by hearing Shastra. So you have to hear all the time. Shukadev Goswami said, thus enlightened by Lord Balaram, slender Rukmini forgot her depression and steadied her mind by spiritual intelligence. So just like in Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Gita, Krishna finishes speaking and then what does he say? Arjuna, you've heard everything, now make your decision. So in the same way, Lord Balaram is instructing Rukmini, and now Rukmini has to make her decision. To act properly or not to act properly. That is in our control. Maya does not force us to do anything. It's up to us whether we want to surrender. Every moment we have a choice, surrender to Krishna or surrender to Maya. That's our choice. Maya does not force us. She tempts us, but she cannot make us. So we have to make the decision. Left with only his life air, cast out by his enemies and deprived of his strength and bodily radiance, Rukmi could not forget how he had been disfigured. In frustration, he constructed for his residence a large city, which is called Bhoja Katta. So it describes that as he was walking away, all the Yadus were taunting him, laughing at him. Right? Krishna's army, Krishna had an army, small army. So as he was, they released him and then he was walking away and they were all laughing at him. Just see, what sort of a chatri are you? Go. You're just like a dog. Go home. So normally devotees are not like that. Normally we're very peaceful, very polite. But if someone challenges us, we'll become the opposite way. We are Krishna soldiers. So you see the Yadavs, they became like that. Because Krishna was insulted by Rukmini, so they became very... strong with Rukmi. They insulted him. Go. We feel like that. If someone threatens the devotees or something, we can become like that. Hey, go.
Also, I think because he's so proud, and the worst thing for someone who's proud is to be laughed at. That would crush the pride. So they're doing him a service as well. At the same time.
Yeah.
But I tell you, devotees are kind. The devotees are kind.
I already said that, I said they can't.
You know, Shivaji said that Dr. Reddy said an interesting point. He says, Bhoja Katta, the place, the previous verse, he says it's a big misery caused by a vow. So he made his residence.
Yeah, because he vowed he would kill Krishna or he would not return. So he was forced to not live in the city again. So he was insulted. He now had to live separate from the family. Because he had promised, I will not re-center.
Re-enter.
Sorry, very good. Because he had promised, I will not re-enter Kundina until I have killed wicked Krishna and brought back my younger sister, in an angry mood, in a mood of angry frustration, Rukmi took up residence in that very place. Thus defeating all the opposing kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead brought the daughter of Bhishmaka to his capital and married her according to the Vedic injunctions, O protector of the Kurus. It's very interesting. These things will come out in the next few weeks and months. Now Krishna will begin to collect his queens. This is the first queen he's collecting. Now, how many more does he collect?
16,107.
This is the first one. Now there's all the rest. That's interesting. So this was the first one. It's important. Highly qualified. There's only one who's more qualified than this one. Sachabhava. Yeah, she's even more qualified than this one. But there's different arrangement that's being made. So Rukmini comes first. That's for the pastimes, for the leelas. So Rukmini comes first. So Bhishmaka, he wanted Krishna to marry
Rukmini,
not Shishupal. So then once Krishna had kidnapped, and then there was a jagya being performed, and then Bhishmaka, he said to Krishna, he said, my lord, you are accepting the goddess of fortune. Our family just has one request. We're giving our daughter to you, one request, that if you want to marry any other queen, you have to ask her permission. So this is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but this is mentioned by the Acharyas, by Rupa Goswami. And this creates a leela or a pastime. Because not long after this, Sachabhama is about to arrive. But when Rukmini sees Sachabhama, she thinks she is even more beautiful than me. And if Krishna sees her, he'll want to marry her straight away. So it creates like a tension in the pastime. So there's rasa in the past. So we'll explain this in the next few weeks and few months. Because now Krishna, in the next chapters, he goes to start to collect everyone. Jambavati, Sachabhama, Kalindi, Mitra, all these different queens, he goes to collect. But there's reasons why all these different things are taking place.
But see, then Jambavati, Rukmini wasn't there. And her father gave his daughter to Krishna.
Yeah, we'll explain. As the pastimes unfold, we'll explain. There's a lot of things going on in the background. Bhagavatam doesn't mention all the details, but all the many things going on. So. At that time, O King, there was great rejoicing in all the homes of Yadupuri, whose citizens loved only Krishna, chief of the Yadus. All the men and women, full of joy and adorned with shining jewels and earrings, brought wedding presents, which they reverently offered to the exquisitely dressed groom and bride. The city of the Vrishnis appeared most beautiful. There were tall, festive columns and also archways decorated with flower garlands, cloth banners, and precious gems. Arrangements of auspicious full water pots, a guru-scented incense, and lamps graced every doorway. The city streets were cleansed by the intoxicated elephants belonging to the beloved kings, who were guests at the wedding. And these elephants further enhanced the beauty of the city by placing trunks of plantain and betel nut trees in all the doorways. Those who belong to the royal families of the Kuru, Srinjaya, Kaikeyi, Vidarbha, Yadu, and Kunti clans joyfully met one another in the midst of the crowds of people excitedly running here and there. The kings and their daughters were totally astonished to hear the story of Rukmini's abduction, which was being glorified in song everywhere. Dwarka citizens were overjoyed to see Krishna, the lord of all opulence, united with Rukmini, the goddess of fortune. So this is the perfect way to spend one's existence, just to be with the Lord's eternal associates in the presence of the Lord and his eternal associate, his consort. So when we study the Bhagavad Gita, this is the desire that should come in our heart. In our heart, the desire should come that we also want to enter the pastimes of Krishna. We want to go into the pastimes, we want to do seva, service, with all of the devotees and the Lord and his consort. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.